弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Brothers and sisters, friends, be peace with you.
大家还记得上个月，就是1月24号，我们主日正道的主题吗？
Do you still remember the sermon back in the 24th of January?
就诗篇117篇1到2节所展开的，上帝所赐万国万民的福音。
Was based on Psalm 117, 1-2, talking about the gospels God is told to all nations.
记得在那次正道快要结束的时候，我给大家显示了一段旧约以赛亚书的经文。
In summary, I showed scriptures from Isaiah.
以赛亚书42章6到7节，我耶和华凭公义照你，必搀扶你的手，保守你，是你做众民的中保，做外邦人的盐，开瞎子的眼，领被囚的出牢狱，领坐黑暗的出监牢。
Here it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness.
我相信以赛亚书42章6到7节这段经文，应该解开许多人心中的谜团。
I think this scripture probably helped you understand a mystery.
那就是上帝为什么选择以色列人。
Why Lord chosen Israeli?
那其实我们也分享过，说上帝从呼召亚伯拉罕开始，直到拣选犹太人以色列为他的子民。
From the beginning, to chosen Abraham, until he chose the Judah, and Israel become his people.
旧约圣经中关于以色列民的一系列故事都在告诉我们。
So all the stories in the Old Testament is telling us.
古代的时候告诉他们，今天是告诉我们。
It was told them back then, and now it's telling us.
上帝是要借着一个民族向普世的人类显明他的慈爱。
So he's why one nation, and he shows his love to all nations.
最终是要完成他对我们人类的救恩的计划。
Is helping to accomplish his ultimate goal to saving us, to give us his salvation to us.
其实我们心中更大的疑团应该是什么？
The even bigger question or mystery in our heart should be.
从旧约时代，上帝那么苦口婆心的爱他们，管教他们，救他们脱离苦难。
The bigger mystery is, even their Lord, our God, earnestly loved them, chastised them, and delivering them from tribulations.
那从犹太人他们的历史中，我们看到，尽管他们成为了这个世界上被奴役、被驱逐、流离失所，可以说是遭受苦难之罪的民族，而著称。
So if we look at the Jewish people, they're probably known for they were enslaved, being expelled, and losing their homes, and probably the most suffering nation in the world.
但是我们看到以色列人为什么一而再、再而三地背逆上帝、辜负上帝的心意。
But why they again and again rebel their God and
yeah. 他们不去像圣经中神所嘱托他们那样去做盐去做光。
They did not taking their responsibility to be the salt and the light to the world.
不去领人出黑暗的监牢，去履行这样的责任。
Now leading people out of darkness.
他们反而在自己的民族与这个世界上的众民，也就是被他们 称呼的所谓外邦人，在他们和外邦人之间筑成了一道厚厚的隔离之墙。
To the contrary, they actually built a very thick wall between them and the Gentiles.
所以在圣经中我们看到古代以色列犹太民族他们坚持自己的信仰的规条。
So from Bible we learned the ancient Israel, they kept their doctrines and their beliefs.
当然那样保守了他们远离外邦人的信仰。
In one hand, keeping them intact from the Gentile religions.
那他们遵照旧约的律法，避免与外族人通婚，以免被同化。
Based on the law, they avoid interracial marriages to avoid homogenized.
可是他们的孩子从小接受的教育是什么？
So if we look at education when they were kids, what was their education when they were kids?
他们的孩子从小在他们眼光中看那些外邦人，那些非犹太人是什么呀？
So from their eyes, their perspective, how they perceive Gentiles.
他看他们因着敬拜的礼仪、婚姻、饮食等方方面面都是不洁净，所以称他们是什么呀？那个时候没有宠物，只有他们认为肮脏的、不洁净的。
So, because the difference of worship, the ceremonies, the marriages, and the diet preferences, and they see the Gentiles as despicable dogs, not as pets, not adorable.
所以今天我们的弟兄姐妹、我们的朋友，我们实际也可以检讨一下我们自己。
So today, if we apply this to ourselves,
一旦我们对某些人群对某些事情产生了偏见之后，在我们的头脑里边是不是也像古代甚至到今天的犹太人、以色列人一样，那种偏见在我们这里边会不会也是根深蒂固的？
So, so it, maybe our bias also invigorated just like the ancient Israel.If we have any bias towards a certain group of people and certain things or events,
我们自己在里边对某些人群、对某些事情的偏见，会不会一直影响到我们的后代？
So all our bias or prejudices will pass to our descendants.
所以从本周开始，我们将借着《使徒行传》第十章的经文，系列性的领略一下。第一世纪初代教会时期，上帝的灵是如何打破犹太人与外邦人、外邦人与犹太人之间他们那些固执的偏见。
So, beginning this week, we're going to start a series based on Acts chapter 10. We will look at how the Spirit of God leading to break this bias between. The Jews and the Gentiles.
我们一起来领略，确定福音向外邦人传扬的那个里程碑。
So we can see the milestone of preaching Gentiles from Jews to the Gentiles.
那今天我们就从《使徒行传》十章一到八节的经文，走进福音传向外邦的。里程碑的第一个里程。
Today we'll just look at verse 1 to 8 of chapter 10 and look at the first milestone of how gospel preached to the Gentiles.
这就是祷告的权柄。
This is the authority of prayers.
使徒行传的作者是谁？
So who was the author of the Acts?
是谁啊？是新约圣经四福音书中的路加福音的作者，路加医生。
So it's the person who wrote the four gospel books, one of the four gospel books, Luke, the doctor.
路加是一个什么人？是犹太人吗？
So was Luke a Jew?
是一个非犹太人，是一个外邦的信徒。
So he was a Gentile and he was a Gentile believer.
他出生在古城安提阿。
So his hometown, he was born in Antioch.
安提阿也就是耶稣基督的信徒最先被称为基督徒的那个以外邦人为主的安提阿教会。
So the term a Christian was originated from the church of Antioch.
安提阿在这里，这是大树。大树是谁的家？是保罗的家。
If you look at the map, where the pastor pointed was Antioch, was also a city not far away from that place. It's Tarsus. Tarsus was the hometown of the apostle Paul.
这两个城市距离不算太远。
And they're not really far away.
那大树当时呢是罗马帝国直接管辖的基利加省的省会。
And Tarsus was the capital of the Cilicia province of Roman Empire.
它不仅是连接东西海路交通的要道，是商业的重镇。
So not only is connecting the east to the west as a very important commercial city.
而且还因为大学教育的发达。而成为一个学风鼎盛、人才辈出的学术文化名城。
But also because it's a renowned higher education, it's also a cultural and a cultural center.
那据有关资料记载，单从教育水平上而言，大树的文明程度甚至高于当时的名城雅典、罗马城、亚历山大城等等。
So based on research and material, if you look at from the education, the Tarsus is actually much higher than Athens, Rome, and Alexandria.
很有可能路加跟保罗呢都是在大树大学的同窗，或者是校友，或者是挚友。
So it's my speculation that Luke and Paul could have been classmates or schoolmates and friends in the University of Tarsus.
以至于后来路加成为保罗的门徒，并且一直跟随保罗，直到保罗为主殉道。
So that could be one of the reasons why Luke became one of Paul's apostles, disciples, and following Paul until his murder.
那在路加笔下，他所记载的《使徒行传》。如果我们用一句话讲《使徒行传》的主题
，So if we look at the book the Acts as a book, and we can summarize in one sentence，
那就是初代教会在公元30到60年间如何履行主耶稣所颁布的传福音的大使命。
Yeah, this really show or demonstrate the early church between AD, 30 to 60 years, how they carried out the greatest mission, which is the preaching gospel.
那大家知道吗？初代教会向外传福音是怎样开始的？
So do you know how the gospel was started in the early church?
今天我们一说传福音呢，我们就要在教会里边动员弟兄姐妹们，甚至做一些外宣宣教的一些动员。
Yeah, so today we often start from a local church doing a mobilization, and to start having some sort of mission trips.
但是初代教会向外传福音，开始呢是从耶路撒冷、犹太全地向撒玛利亚乃至地极传播的时候，是怎样一个光景呢？是一个被逼迫的情况下。
So, but if we look at the early church, the gospel was spread out because of persecutions of the church.
我们看一节经文，《使徒行传》八章一节。从这日起，耶路撒冷的教会大遭逼迫，除了使徒以外，门徒都分散在犹太和撒玛利亚各处。
Right, so if you look at chapter 8:1, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and the Samaria.
所以初代教会的信徒是在被逼迫的光景下，四散到耶路撒冷之外的犹大和撒玛利亚各处去传福音。
So as the scripture indicated, they were under the great persecution, and they were scattered to Judah and Samaria to spread out the good news.
但是他们四散出去之后，他们的眼光所盯的是什么人群啊？
But they're still focusing on.
他们眼光所注视的，他们脚中所到的，都还是他们的同族犹太人。
So they're still focused on their food, where their feet cover. They're still trying to preach the gospel to the Jews.
所以从使徒行传第十章第一到二节这段经文，对四散而逃的出去传福音的那些耶路撒冷的犹太背景的信徒而言，他们根本就不屑一顾。
So if you look at the chapter 10, verse 1 2, those Jews,
这就是使徒行传十章一到二节，一个外邦人向上帝发出祷告。
Yeah, the Jews, they probably will sniff at the two verses and probably will think they were very dismissive. This is the prayer to a Gentile.
当时的犹太人不屑一顾，我不知道今天我们做一个信徒来讲，对一个不信上帝的人，还没有信上帝的人发出的祷告，这里面是怎么想
的？ If it's the same question to us today, if as a believer, how we perceive or think of prayer of a non-believer to God.
使徒行传十章一到二节，在凯撒利亚有一个人名叫哥尼流，是意大利营的百夫长，他是个虔诚人，他和全家都敬畏上帝，多多周济百姓，常常祷告上帝。
So in verse 1 says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment.He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly.
凯撒利亚也有翻译成该撒利亚。
So Caesarea in Chinese also translated a different term, the same meaning.
那另外还有一个地址就是约帕的地方。
Another place called Joppa.
该撒利亚、凯撒利亚、约帕。两个地方相距大概50公里，也就是30迈出头。
The two cities is about 30 miles apart.
这是耶路撒冷。
And that's Jerusalem.
那这两个都是《使徒行传》十章这段经文提到的位于地中海的东岸的城市。
Those are the cities on the east shore of the Mediterranean Sea.
在主前22年到主前10年间，当时犹大王大希律呢，为了讨好罗马皇帝奥古斯都，花了12年的时间，大兴土木建设。
During 22 to 10 BC, the Herod, the great king of Judah, in order to please the Roman Empire Augustus spent 12 years to spend on capital programs.
他修建深水人工码头。
He built one deep water port.
使得凯撒利亚逐渐成为整个巴勒斯坦地区最大也是最重要的港口城市。
So made Caesarea the most important port city around Palestine.
那在新约时期，罗马政府统治下，犹太省的省府
So during the New Testament era, and the Caesarea became the capital of Judah province.
也是西律分封王的官邸和罗马巡抚的总督所在地。
Also location for Herod's palace and the governor's residence.
虽然当时城内的居民基本上是犹太人和外邦人各占一半。
So back then the population is about 50-50 Jews and 50 Gentiles.
但是在那个时候凯撒利亚或者该撒利亚早已经成为大家都说希腊话的我们称之叫希罗化的城市希腊罗马化的城市。
The city already being Greek and Romanized.
那哥尼流是罗马政府派驻凯撒利亚的政府军的一个百夫长。
So we know Cornelius was the centering allocated by the Roman government.
他手下管辖了100个士兵。
He commanded about 100 soldiers.
有一个古代历史学者描述古代罗马军的百夫长的资格。
So there was one ancient scholar described the criteria to become a centurion.
你看他这样描写，说百夫长不要血气之勇。
So the centurion cannot be a person with a brute courage.
不要鲁莽。
And not act recklessly.
要做良好的领袖。
Become a good leader.
有稳定而又谨慎的心理。
So who must have a stable and cautious mentality.
不轻易采取攻势。
Slow to assault.
不随便发动战事。
Not easy. Slow to start a war with not starting a war with wrong reasons.
但是当挫败和艰难来临时。 能以站立在他们的岗位上坚定不摇。
But when facing a defeat or difficulties, they can stand firmly and in their post and carry out their responsibility firmly.
所以哥尼流就是这样一位具有特质的罗马军队中的基层的中间军官之一。
So Cornelius definitely fit that description. And he's the low-level military officer of the Roman army.
这是古代和现代结合的地图，海法在这里，凯撒利亚，约帕，也就是今天的特拉维夫。
Yeah, this is the overlapping of the ancient and the current map of that region.
那我们看一段现代中文译本，对《使徒行传》。 十章一二节是怎么翻译？凯撒利亚有一个人名叫哥尼流，是罗马军意大利营的军官。
If you like a different version of translation, here is that there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelia who was a captain in the Roman army regiment called the Italian regiment.
哎，他强调是罗马军队的。
Here they emphasize the Roman. They call out the term Roman army.
第二节。 他是一个虔诚的人，他跟他一家人都敬畏上帝，常常慷慨、周济贫穷的犹太人，又时常热心向上帝祷告。
Yeah, verse 2 says he was a religious man. He and his whole family worshiped God. He also did much to help the Jewish poor people and was constantly praying to God.
大家注意，这里边有一个敬畏上帝这个词儿。
Here is a term called God fearing.
它的基本含有两个层面.
So there are two meanings of.
因为我们今天常常说敬畏上帝，那我们来理解一下，在《使徒行传》10:2这里这个敬畏，它的含义是什么？
Let's take a look at the meanings of this word.
一个是惊恐、惧怕某人或者某事。
So the first one is definitely the fear to afraid.
这个呢就是尊敬又很深的敬意。
The second layer of meaning is to reverence, to treat with the differences or reverential obedience. Yeah.
这个词在新约圣经中出现了90多次。
This word appeared more than 90 times.
除了少数几次被翻译成为敬畏。
In New Testament, only a few times was translated as fear.
大多时候呢，它都被翻译是惧怕，或者是害怕，或者是恐惧的意思。
Only a few times was translated as a revere, but most of the time was translated as fear and be afraid.
那今天我们如果说我们敬畏上帝的话，我不知道我们对上帝有没有恐惧，有没有害怕。
So when we talk about fearing God, what's the meaning really behind it? Was it fearing or?
但是大家请注意，这里用敬畏上帝这个词儿呢，来形容哥尼流，是说明当时或许是指那些像哥尼流一类的人一样，他虽然没有受割礼，但是呢却追求犹太人的信仰，参加犹太会堂里边敬拜耶和华上帝的外邦人。
But I want to point out this word was very specially used for a certain group of people who has not been circumcised, the Gentiles who pursue the Jewish belief and go to the synagogues to worship Jehovah.
几乎成了路加笔下的一个专有名词。我们再看几节经文。
Let's take a look at some other verses.
你看《使徒行传》13节、15、16、26章这几个地方，读完了律法和先知的书，管会堂的叫人过去，对他们说：“二位兄台，若有什么劝勉众人的话，请说。”保罗就站起来举手说：“以色列人和一切敬畏上帝的人，请听。”你看26节说：“弟兄们，亚伯拉罕的子孙和你们中间敬畏上帝的人呐。”
So here another some other verses showing this is a special term for a certain group of people. Here it says, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the leader of the synagogue sent words to them, saying, brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. Stand up. Paul motioned with his hand and said, fellow Israelites and your Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. In verse 26, it says, follow children of Abraham and your God, fearing Gentiles. It is to us that the message of salvation has been sent.
所以现在我们来思想，这位百夫长哥尼流是不是和我们今天坐在我们中间的一些朋友非常非常的相像。
So can we see any semblance or likeness of this centering with our friends sitting here today?
虽然还没有接受洗礼，
although they have not been baptized,
但是心中对我们所敬拜的那位独一创造的上帝早已经存有敬畏的心了。
But they all have a God-fearing heart to the one who created the universe.
那我们回头再看这位百夫长哥尼流，他不单敬畏上帝，而且常常的慷慨周济贫穷的犹太人，还时常热心向上帝祷告。
Yeah, not only he's a God-fearing, but also he gives generously to the poor Jewish in need and pray to God constantly.
那我想请问弟兄姐妹和朋友们，百夫长哥尼流这位没有接受割礼、没有接受洗礼的，既非皈依犹太教，更没有接受耶稣基督的一个外邦人，向上帝所发出的祷告，上帝垂听吗？
So the question to everyone here is, someone like Cornelius, who was not circumcised, who was not baptized, who was not converted to Judaism, and such a Gentile, does God listen to his prayer?
当我想到问一个非犹太人、非基督徒的一个人向上帝祷告，上帝垂听不垂听的问题的时候，实际上我心中立即就冒出来同样一个挑战，就是对今天已经接受洗礼的信徒的挑战。
So when I ask you this question, I also have a challenge for the believers.
许多时候，我们作为一个已经接受洗礼的信徒，是不是在心中也问，上帝垂听我的祷告吗？
Yeah, for believers, we may also have a question, does God listen to my prayers?
因为我们能够看到。
Because we can see.
如果在我们信徒的头脑中认定上帝会垂听我们的祷告的话，
If we truly believe that God listened to our prayer,
为什么我们那么不喜欢祷告？
So why we so much dislike pray?
为什么我们那么不情愿祷告？
Why we're praying grudgingly?
更不用说让我们去鼓励那些还没有接受洗礼的朋友去学习祷告。
Now even mention, I mean, to encouraging your friends who has not been baptized to pray.
在预备讲章的时候，在想到这一个层面的问题的时候，我就想今年是咱们教会的一个什么日子？咱们南湾华人基督教会。
And when I'm preparing the sermon, and I realize this is a very special year for our church here.
是我们进入25周年的时间。
So we have been founded for 25 years. It's 25.
那我想请问弟兄姐妹们，我们教会的传福音的状况怎么样？
So I want to ask everyone.
25周年。
So how's our mission of preaching gospels here in the past 25 years?
我想到了一段经文，就是启示录里边第二章一节到第三章十九节提出的七个教会。如果我们教会和那七个教会做一个对比的话，和哪个教会能够接近？
Therefore, I was thought of Revelations. They described the seven churches there.So I wonder which one was us.
你看，在中间提到了七个教会，只有两个教会没有被责备，一个是士美拿，一个是腓拉铁菲。
Yeah, among the many churches, there are only two without blames. One is Smyrna, the other one is Philadelphia.
那被责备的五个教会，我们来看看责备他什么。以弗所教会被责备是把起初的爱心离弃了，我们有没有
？So look at the Ephesus, where the Lord blamed them. Like Ephesus was, they have forsaken the love they first had.
好像我们的爱心还有，是不是
？I think we still have a loving heart.
好。别加摩教会服从巴兰的教训和尼格拉党的教训，我们还不至于这么严重。
The Pergamus, the blame was actually following the heresies and the Gentiles religion, following Balaam and the Nicolaitans.
推亚推拉教会被责备的是容让耶洗别的教导，也就是奸淫吃祭物。
Yeah.
好像我们也没有。
Thyatira, they blame for.They're actually eating the food sacrificed to idols and having sexual immoralities.
责备撒迪教会是按明是活，其实是死，行为无一样完全，这跟我们也不匹配。
So Sardis is talking about it seems like living, but they are dead.
那最后一个被责备的是老底嘉教会。
So if you look at Laodicea.
物质主义、民主主义影响变得不冷不热。
They become neither cold or hot under the influence of materialism and democracy.
我就在想，有一个挑战：当我们的孩子走到大学，又回头看我们自己家庭的信仰生活，他想想我爹爹、我妈妈对这个上帝的信仰怎么样，我们会有什么样的感觉？
So if we can imagine our kids when they leave the families going to college, they are looking at our, you know, the family's Christian life, and what would they think about you know, their parents' faith and beliefs?
我们是不是比较多的享受我们南湾地区这样的田园生活？
So maybe we're indulged into the countryside living style of South Bend.
多少次邀请大家一起来祷告，但是比较欣喜的是，我看到校园的年轻的弟兄姐妹们，他们在礼拜四晚上专门有一个祷告会，每一个礼拜六还有小组的活动。
Yeah, we have invited many to join the prayers meeting. Make something comfort me is to see the students fellowship group. They have a prayer meeting on Thursday and also another gathering on Saturday.
到周末礼拜五、礼拜六的时候，我跟师母就打电话说哪个小组有聚会。 结果从咱们教会出去了以后，每周都有聚会的那一段时间出去了以后，我一问，哇，又恢复到以往了。每个月只有两次聚会。So
yeah, I called, wife and I called members of the church just to find out after the large gathering here to have a meeting jointly. How often we have group meetings, and now we're back to the normal twice a month.
我甚至还给有的小组长想要证据，我说他们为什么不愿意？
We also want to learn a bit more why having a regular meeting was so difficult.
怎么办呀，弟兄姐妹们？
So what should we do?
回到祷告上。 对祷告没有信心或者缺乏信心。
So that's a comeback to the prayer. Maybe we don't have confidence in prayers.
或者说是没有尝到祷告的甜头。
Or maybe we have not tasted the sweetness of prayers.
否则为什么呢？ 上下嘴皮子一碰， 上帝的福分就来了， 为什么不去碰呢？
So, well, then why shouldn't we do it? It's such an easy thing. So just get the lips sort of get together, and the blessing will come.
盼望借着下边《使徒行传》10章3到4节的经文，能够激起我们向上帝祷告的信心。
Hopefully, the verse 3 and 4 will motivate us to pray and strengthen our faith in prayers.
《使徒行传》10章3到4节，上帝垂听敬畏无私之人的祷告。
God listen to people who are revered and altruistic.
你看有一天约在下午3点钟，他也就是哥尼流在异象中清楚看见上帝的一个使者进来到他那里对他说，哥尼流定睛看他，惊慌地说，主啊，什么事？天使对他说，你的祷告和你的周祭已达到上帝面前蒙纪念。
Here says, one day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. Cornelius distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor has come up as a memorial offering before God.
我在仔细读这两节经文的时候，泪几乎就要出来。
I read this two verses very carefully, and I almost cried.
哥尼流身为一个权力在握的军官,
Cornelius being a military officer with the power,
他没有专横跋扈仗势欺人,
he did not act imperiously,
他也没有自以为是顾不自封,
he did not sort of complacent.
他富以同情心和爱心而周济他所管辖的外族的穷人。
And he was full of compassion and loving and really helping the poor under his reign.
他敞开胸怀，摒弃那些偏见而孜孜不倦地追求真理的心，最终得到了报偿。
He very open-minded and reject all the prejudices between the Jews and the Gentiles. He tirelessly pursuing the truth, and his heart was rewarded.
就在下午三点钟的时候，上帝差派的天使竟然在光天化日之下，在他面前显现。
So the three in the afternoon, under the daylight, and the angel of God appeared before him.
而且带给他的是极大的巨荣耀的安慰。
And bring a great comfort and glorification to him.
你的祷告和你的周济已达到上帝面前蒙纪念了。
It says your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.
按照犹太人的计时方法， 白天呢是从早晨6点到下午6点12个小时。
So based on the Jewish culture, and the day starting at 6, and at 6 p.m.
那经文这里讲到的下午三点呢，是从早晨6点算起的第9个小时。所以从经文翻译里面，我们看到好几种，有的是呢第9个小时的时候，有的说呢是下午3点，有的说呢。 就按照犹太人的说法是伸出的。
So there are many translations of this hour, the 3 in the afternoon. So if you look at it from the Jewish tradition, it will be the 9th hour.
也就是说第9个小时伸出的时候，下午3点的时候，其实这个时候是圣殿的每天的第二次的献祭众人祷告的时候。
So this is the time have the afternoon worship and the congregation prayers.
所以敬虔的犹太人，无论他身处何方，在这个时候到来的时候，他都要停下手中的一切的事情，面朝着耶路撒冷圣殿的方向，祈祷。
So, to those who revere God, the Jews, and regardless where they were, by the 9th hour of the day, they will come down and facing Jerusalem and start pray.
所以很显然。 哥尼流呢，是按照犹太人的习惯，在这个时刻祷告的时候，天使在他面前显现。
This is obvious. Cornelius, a practice based on the Jewish tradition, and exactly at that moment, and the angel came.
所以弟兄姐妹朋友们，经文在这里向我们揭示了一个真理。
So this scripture really showed us a truth.
这个真理就是上帝，他赏赐那些追求他的人。
And the truth is, the Lord rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
寻他的人。
The one who go after Him.
那这段经文也带出来另外一个问题。
So there's another question also showed from this verse.
这个问题就是， 那今天上帝还赐给人异象吗？
So today, does God still giving visions to people?
这个问题留给大家到小组里面去讨论。
So this question I'll give to each group to discuss in the group meetings.
今天上帝还赐给人异象吗？
Does God still giving visions?
异象和异梦有没有区别？
So what's the difference between visions and dreams?
异象是人在清醒的时候就看见了。
So the vision was when a people was received when people were awake.
那异梦呢是在你睡着之后。
And the dreams, of course, you receive when you were sleeping asleep.
那请问经文里边，哥尼流在异象中受到了天使的荣耀性的安慰之后，天使有没有立刻给他奖励奖赏？
So the question was, did angel reward him immediately after Cornelius saw the angel in his vision and received all the comfort, glorious comfort?
虽然没有立即奖赏他，但是我们看到，
although it wasn't reward immediately, but we saw here,
上帝的眷顾即将临到顺服的人，这就是《使徒行传》10章。
So we can see from verse 5 and 8, God's providence to people who is submissive.
我们先来看五到六节。现在你当打发人往约帕去，请那称呼彼得的西门来，他住在海边一个削皮匠西门的家里，房子在海边上。
Yeah, verse 5 and 6 says, Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter.
大家会不会奇怪，天使为什么没有在此时此地把耶稣基督的福音直接告诉哥尼流？
So the question is why the angel did not reveal the gospel to Cornelius back then?
而是叫他打发人往约帕去，请他称呼彼得的西门来。为什么？
But actually giving him some word to getting Peter from Joppa.
那前面我们从地图上已经了解过，约帕和该撒利亚距离大概30多英里。
So we know from the map, the two cities is about 30 miles apart.
那此时西门彼得为什么在那里？在那里做什么呀？
So why is what Peter was doing in Joppa?
手头有圣经的话，请你翻到前面第9章《使徒行传》。
Does that turn to the Bible, Acts chapter 9?
第九章看两段经文，一个是32到35。另外一段的是36到43。
So look at chapter 9, verse 32 to 35 and 36 to 43.
你看32节，他提到彼得周流四方的时候，也到了居住吕大的圣徒那里。
So here it says, Peter traveled about the country. He went to visit the Lord people who live in Lydda.
再看36节，在约帕有一个女徒名叫大比大，翻希腊话就是多加。
So in verse 36, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, his name is Dorcas.
这两段经文记载了彼得在吕大和约帕奉耶稣基督的名行了医治瘫子和使死人复活的两个神迹。
So we reading these verses, we know Peter performed miracles to heal paralytics and resurrect that person.
并且带领多人信主。
And leading many people believe in Lord.
但他所到之处都是与信徒接触，并且呢住在信徒的家中。
But again, every time he went, he stayed with the Jews, the disciples, Jewish disciples, believers, and they living in their homes.
所以《使徒行传》10章5到6节的经文在这里，天使让哥尼流打发人去找彼得，有着双重的含义。
So that's why this task, the angel giving Cornelius, very significant, have two meanings.
一方面，上帝要预备救恩，预备这个恩典给非犹太人，也就是外邦人哥尼流和他一家，
要
为他预备。
So, on one hand, God is preparing this blessing.To Gentile, such as in the family of Cornelius.
另一方面呢，是向彼得和初代教会发出一个恩典的命令。
On the other hand, they're the God trying to give a command to the early church and Peter.
要他们打破偏见。
Ask them to break the prejudice.
是要彼得亲自去履行将福音传给外邦人的命令。
And asking Peter himself to carry out the mission to preaching gospel to the Gentiles.
这个命令具体来讲就是救恩不只限于犹太人，而是关乎到万国万民的福音。
So this command is really the salvation is not limited to the Jews, but is the gospel, the salvation to all nations.
所以读到这两节经文，我不知道弟兄姐妹的心中会不会产生一种羡慕、嫉妒、恨的感觉。
So when you're reading this verse, I wonder whether sisters and brothers kind of having this at the same time an admire, but also envy Peter and the early church.
羡慕、嫉妒、恨谁呀？彼得，说上帝为什么，或者说上帝如果能够感动那些。今天我们周围那些敬虔的慕道朋友，一个一个到我跟前来找我，多好！
So maybe we will envy because why God did not sort of move and touch those God-fearing gospel friends to come here after us.
但是当我们心中有这种羡慕嫉妒恨的时候，我们想过没有，我们自己有没有预备好而接受上帝的差遣？
If we have such a feeling or thought, another question to ourselves is, were we, are we prepared to take this task?
当那些寻求上帝的、敬畏上帝、有敬畏上帝之心的朋友来找到我们的时候，我们能不能够将耶稣基督救的救恩清清楚楚地分享给人间？
So if the gospel friends came for us, will we be able to clearly to preach the gospel and the salvation to them?
圣经中哥尼流对天使 吩咐他要做的事情，他持的是什么态度？
So if we back to the verse, what was Cornelius' attitude towards the angel's work to him?
我们看天使在这里有没有告诉哥尼流，让他请那称呼彼得的西门是何许人也？
So,
有没有告诉他？
So from the verse, we see that the angel did not disclose who Peter was, and why, and asking Peter to come here.
有没有告诉他请彼得来干什么？也没有。
Did not tell him why the angel wanted to invite Peter.
但是，使徒行传10章7到8节，向他说话的天使去以后，哥尼流叫了2个家人和常 伺候他的一个虔诚兵来，把这事都述说给他们听，就打发他们往约帕去。
Cornelius, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his servants and the old soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything and had happened and sent them to Joppa.
天使离开之后，哥尼流没有延迟，立即行动。
So he acted immediately without delay.
那这儿注意，哥尼流他所叫的两个家人。
So here I want to call out the two servants.
很可能是他家中做事忠心可靠、甘愿为他效劳的心腹般的奴仆。
It's very likely they were two loyal slaves.
因为按照古代罗马的法律， 一般的军人是不容许结婚的。
Based on the ancient Rome law, military force, people serving in military could not get married.
那作为百夫长，也就相当于我们今天的部队里边的连长，他随时要接受调配，带领军队转战各方，所以也很难建立稳定的家庭。
So as a sentry, is often being deployed to where they have wars. It's very difficult for them to establish a very stable family life.
当然有一个例外，除非他是一个转业军。Unless
the person is
一个退役的百夫长，retired
from the military.
而当那位常伺候他的一个虔诚的兵，我们来想想这个人的身份。I
also want to call out the devout soldier who
一定是与哥尼流有着同样的信仰的追求和人格操守的一个。
So that person must be a person who had the same belief and faith and the same integrity, a bodyguard of Cornelius.
大家注意一个词儿，这用的虔诚。So
the word here they use is the devout.
那这个词在新约圣经中只出现了3次。So
in the New Testament, this word only appears 3 times.
一次是在前面第二节形容哥尼流是一个虔诚人。
In the same context, in verse 2, it talks about Cornelius, the devout believer.
那第二次就是在使徒行传10章7节，这里形容哥尼流手下的一个虔诚的兵。
The second time is here, it describes the soldier.
所以虔诚这个词儿，与前面第二节所描写的 哥尼流跟他的一家人都敬畏上帝，这个敬畏那个词有异曲同工的作用。
So the word devote is the same function as the word offering, was describing Cornelius.
就是特指那些虽然没有接受割礼，但却追求犹太人的信仰，参加犹太会堂，会堂里边敬拜耶和华上帝的外邦人，形容他们的特质的敬畏虔诚。
And those two words are special terms for the Gentiles who pursuing the Jewish believer beliefs and participate in the synagogue worship, and but has not been circumcised.
所以天使离开之后，哥尼流不但没有延迟，立刻采取行动。
So he without any delay, he acted immediately.
而且差派两个家仆，加上一个士兵做保护，保证万无一失。
So he arranged very well and have two servants and protect by one soldier to carry out this mission.
那《使徒行传》十章第五到第八节再次展现了哥尼流的人格魅力。
So really, from the verse 5 to 8, that demonstrated the Cornelius the personal charisma.
他面对上帝差遣天使向他做出的那个启示和引导，不单是完全顺服的接受。
So not only he very submissive.And obey the mission the angel gave him.
而且是谨慎、认真、忠心的去执行。
But also execute very carefully and wholeheartedly.
那今天《使徒行传》十章一到八节的经文向我们展示了哥尼流作为一个非犹太人、非基督徒，向上帝发出的祷告得蒙垂听。
So those verses from 1 to 8 showed this was true, that God listened to a non-Jew, a Gentile, a non-believer, a non-Christian as a prayer.
再次向我们证明了一个真理。
Again, to show us this truth.
那位创造宇宙万物的上帝已经将祷告的权柄赐给了一切寻求他的人。
And this A universe creating God has given the authority of prayers to everyone who seek Him.
所以在《使徒行传》十章八节之后的经文中，我们将会看到。
So from the verses following 1 to 8 in the same chapter, we will see.
哥尼流是一位在初代教会时期，耶稣基督的福音从犹太人开始向外邦人。传扬的一个里程碑式的人。
So he's a figure of a milestone, starting to having the gospels passing to from the Jews to the Gentiles.
所以还有一个问题来了，就是为什么会是哥尼流是个里程碑式的人
？So why was him, you know, a milestone person?
他虽然身为罗马军官。饱受希腊、罗马传统文化以及他们的那种崇拜多神、崇拜偶像的礼仪等等等，影响很深的一个人物。
So we can see he definitely was influenced. He was a Roman military officer. He was probably influenced by the Greek Roman traditional culture, which worshipped many gods and idols.
但是他却怀有一颗敬虔的、虔诚的、敬畏上帝的心。
But he has a God-fearing heart.
他有一颗连续贫穷、无私奉献的心。
And he had a loving and altruistic heart.
他拥有一颗忠心、听命、柔软、顺服的心。
He has a loyal, submissive, soft and submit heart.
所以哥尼流成为初代教会，成为历代教会，乃至今天教会时期，万邦万民得着上帝救恩的榜样。
So he is really exemplary to the church back then, to the church in the past, and even to the church today as an example, how God can get in, how person can get the salvation from God.
他的人格魅力用三个词来形容。
Yes, his personal charisma can be described as
他对上帝怀有一颗敬虔无私顺服的心。
So he has a heart toward, he has a revere, altruistic and submissive heart towards God.
我想请大家一起来默念默想他的三颗心对上帝是什么呀？ 敬虔无私顺服的心。
So yeah, it takes some time to think about the three characteristics of his heart. It's really God-fearing, revere, altruistic, and submissive.
Amen.
Amen.
愿一切荣耀归给上帝。
And may all the glorification given to God.
勉励一同学习顺服神的功课。 Thank Pastor for the message today. May we work together, encouraging one another, learn to be more obedient to God. 现在让我们来用一首诗歌。